Well, welcome to HBF. It is, man, that was a great time of praising God. I enjoyed that. Welcome to HBF. It is good to see you this morning. I pray that you're encouraged. And if you are a first-time guest, what is going on around here? Well, we're turning this place into a Bible manufacturing facility. Today kicks off our 2015 Bible conference. And a lot of times when you hear the term Bible conference, you think of preaching the Bible, which is what we're going to be hearing this morning from our brother Gene Pirtle. I'm excited to hear from him. But just by way of introduction, let me explain what we're doing with the Bibles. We are actually collating Bibles, and we will be using them for distribution. And we already have some places set aside. 1,000 of those will go to Keys of the Cross Ministry and the Jackson County Jail and other locations. Of course, a large part, too, will go to our own Cass County facility through our own Prisoners of Hope Ministry. Exciting opportunity. And then the rest of them go to our hands, and we steward them, and we get them wherever they need to go. And it's an exciting opportunity to put the Word of God together. Now, we don't do English Bibles every year. This year we're going to be doing English because we've ran out of our English Bibles that we kicked off several years ago. I think it was 2010. I can't even remember the date now, what year it was when we started our first Bible conference. But our first Bible conference, we assembled English Bibles, and it was so awesome because I was able to get the first Bible or two off the press, so to speak, and take it all the way around the world. And I was able to distribute it to one of the leaders of Bhutan, the king's brother-in-law. When I met him in Bhutan. So it was pretty awesome. And at HBF, we want to make sure the word is first and the word goes first. And so I had the privilege of meeting a gentleman, Rochunga Pudati, who has that philosophy several years ago. And it really helped set my heart on just the power of the written word of God. And of course, we all know that we're born again by the word of God. If you're born again this morning, it's through the Word of God. And the Word of God is so precious and important. And it's our great privilege now to be able to steward this publishing ministry. If you haven't heard, God's given us the binders now. And so it's our responsibility to steward that. We're praying for, the possession of a cutter and all of those things. So it's exciting to be a part of what God's doing. And it's exciting to be part of Gene Pirtle's ministry, man. And Gene and Sue, I've known you guys for as long as I've been active in ministry. As soon as I grew up enough to actually be able to fumble into a ministry and open up a Bible, Gene was there. And we have ministered together, not ever really in the same ministry directly, but like next to each other for now well over 20 years. And it's been awesome just to have you as a friend. And I just love Gene and Sue, and you're not going to find any better folks. But you're also not going to find any better preacher this morning to preach at HBF. So I'm ready. I'm excited to bring him up and give him all that pressure. So you got to come through now, brother. So it'll be a good time. Gene Pirtle, come on up and preach to us. We love you. Give him some HBF love.
Good morning. That is pressure. I was going to bound up on the altar and the stage, but then I remembered what manner of man I am and decided maybe that wouldn't be a good idea. I'd hate to fall down in front of all of you. Well, I'm happy to be here as well. It's always a blessing. This church has been dear friends to us since its inception, and that's a blessing. It's always good to come around. I know a lot of you folks that look around. I know a lot of faces. Hey, Bob. There's a face I just saw. But it's a blessing to be here, and I'm happy to be invited to share with you just a quick little update on our ministry. We still continue to be very active in several facilities in Northwest Missouri. I guess there are five that we are in all the time. I have guys this morning in the prison in St. Joe. They'll be there again Thursday. We have guys weekly in the maximum security prison in Cameron. We have women monthly in the women's facility in Chillicothe. And I got to go up with them a couple of weeks ago and enjoyed some time with the ladies up there. And then, of course, we have a big influence in the regional jail, the municipal jail, and the county jail in downtown Kansas City. And that's where I spend most of my time the last nearly 3 years now. I've been the chaplain, and so I have the opportunity to have a big influence. Although I don't have the opportunity to teach that much, but I have the opportunity to be a big influence on who teaches and what we do and the kind of programs we have there. So speaking of that, from the Department of Corrections, all your friends and family said, hey. Uncle Bob and them said, tell them all, hey. But it's a whole different crowd, a different opportunity for me to be here. I want to make sure I don't forget to say thank you, because this church not only has been a friend to us for a long time, but has been very helpful to us financially for many, many years now in this ministry, and a big part of what we do. So I want to thank you for that. I'd like to actually kind of walk through a couple of different passages of Scripture this morning. Check my time, make sure I know where I'm at there. So if you'd like to be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and if you're a visitor here today, there are some Bibles, I think, underneath the seats in front of you. And if you'd like to grab one of those, if you don't have one of your own, I believe it's page 190 where I'm going to be starting today. And in reality today, folks, I'm going to be talking to us. I'm going to be talking to the church. If you're here and you're not part of this church, or you're not sure where you're at in your relationship with Christ, well, praise God, I'm glad you're here. And this church loves you. This is, if you need to be in a church, this is a church to be in. This is an awesome place to plant and grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ and be involved in what God's doing in Harrisonville and beyond. But I'm speaking directly to us today because of this Bible conference and what's going on. I want us to look inwardly somewhat. So let me begin by reading this passage beginning in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, praise God, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Heavenly Father, I love you so much. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I pray, Lord God, you would use me to do justice to your word and the things you put on my heart to share. Lord, help me to articulate, speak clearly the thoughts that are in my head. And Lord, more importantly than that, as I always ask, supernaturally, Lord, work in the ears of the hearers in this room today, Lord. Let us hear what it is each of us individually needs to hear from you. And we give you praise and honor and glory, our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said, I want to walk through this passage, just make some observations as we go. But I want to talk about the fact that we are changed, that we are charged, and then I also want to look at a challenge that maybe some of us need to step up to today. But you are changed. Verse 16 and 17, or the beginning part of verse 17 that I read right there, we see Paul telling us about this change. He says in verse 16 that we are no longer, or we are to no longer look at men, other men, after their fleshly appearance. He says, "Wherefore, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, we know him no more." Think about that. Many of these people that were receiving this letter, this church at Corinth, it's possible that some of them had been in the area and met Christ themselves personally. But he was no longer physically, or maybe not met Christ, but heard Christ speak. But he was no longer physically on this planet. But if they knew him as their Savior, they still had communication with him, correct? It was just in a different way. Paul says, "We knew Christ in the flesh, but not any longer. Therefore," he says in verse 17, "if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." What's that mean? Does he look different? No, probably not. Does he radically change immediately when he gets saved? Maybe. Maybe not. Sometimes God has to do a little work on us. Do his life circumstances change when he gets saved? No. If you're an inmate doing life without parole in prison and you meet Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're still an inmate doing life without parole in prison. It means inside, the part of us that lives eternally, the part of us that's real, the part of us that's not slowly degenerating and dying, the soul of man. If we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, that part of us has changed. I saw a fellow on Wednesday, actually, up at Crossroads. His name's Steve. I've known Steve 15 or 16 years. He's actually the very first man I met when I walked into that camp at Crossroads Correctional Center. Let me tell you, I was nervous, man. I walked in that place. I'd been in a lower security prison, but a maximum security prison is different. Them steel doors close, and it's a whole new world. And the very first guy, I was walking down what they call the boulevard, the main walk there, inmates everywhere. And the very first guy the chaplain introduced me to was this guy, Steve. A few years prior to that, in the 90s, Steve had viciously killed his cousin in a whacked-out drug deal. It was a bad deal. But I've known Steve now well over 15 years, and I don't look at Steve as a ruthless killer because he knows Jesus Christ as his Savior. He's a new man, and he's living his life for Christ. In fact, when I saw him Wednesday, he was speaking to my group before I spoke to them, and he was talking about the fact we had this banquet coming up, and some of them couldn't afford to go, and he was letting them know that the church at Crossroads was pooling things together out of their own very limited resources to cover people that didn't have any. So praise God, he's serving God in the ways that he can. I know another guy named James. James is getting up there in years now, but back in the 70s, angry at somebody and drunk, James set a fire in an apartment building. 6 people, including some children, died. But I don't look at James in that respect because he knows Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he goes into jails spreading the gospel now today. I know another guy named Floyd who's a sex offender, a pedophile. Whoa, wait a minute. Now you're going too far, Pertle. Pedophiles, that's a different story. I can't abide that. I don't know. Can we not deal with that? Does the Bible put any limitations on grace? No. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's changed. Old things are passed away. Keep your finger here in 2 Corinthians, but flip to your right a few pages to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me do you guys like I do in prison. When you got it, say amen. If you don't have it, say, hold up. I didn't hear either one, so I guess I'll just go ahead on. Ephesians 2, verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." When I preach this passage, I call this first 3 verses the 3 dilemmas of man. We've got the world, we've got the devil, and we've got the lusts of our flesh. But it goes on, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And there's the deliverance of God, his great love, his mercy, and his grace. Notice that it said in here, all these things that it talked about were past tense. Up at the beginning, when he talked about when we were all in our sin, he said, "You hath he quickened," in verse 1, past tense, "wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," verse 3, "among whom also we all had our conversation in times past." But then going forward, "but God, who is rich in his mercy for his great love wherewith he had loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us." So we lived that way prior, and God has already done, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the work that needs to be done to make that change in you. It's a done deal. If you know, that's something to shout about, y'all. It's a done deal. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a new creature. By God's reckoning, I'm sealed. I'm in heavenly places, seated in Christ Jesus. I'm not in heavenly places. I'm still jacked up walking around in this place. But the Bible says that when I got saved, God did a spiritual operation on me. My soul was cut away, or my flesh was cut away from my soul. And this soul of Gene was baptized or immersed into Christ Jesus. So even now, today, I am in Christ. When God comes looking for Pearl, he's looking at the sun, because that's where I am. I'm in Christ. And that's a good way to live if we reckon it to be so, as God reckons it to be so, and understand God's word. God changes people. Spiritual change happens immediately, but as we said a minute ago, outwardly sometimes there's work involved. He's still working on me. But Paul said back there in our text in 2 Corinthians that we shouldn't judge people according to who they were in the past. You know, sometimes even we as believers get a little judgmental on other people. We're quick to look down on someone who, for instance, has committed some of the crimes that I mentioned. And societally, rightfully so, we've got to deal with those issues. But we fail sometimes to look at the individuals, or even want to look at the individuals and give them an opportunity. Even in our community sometimes, I had a fellow tell me one time, he had some rowdies living down the street from him, and he was all mad, and he was huffing and puffing and screaming about it. And I said, have you ever got to know him, tried to talk to him and tell him about Jesus? I ain't talking to them people. They can die and go to hell. That's crazy. That's crazy. But at least in our heart of hearts, sometimes we feel that way toward others. We have a dislike of people that we shouldn't have as believers. We even look down our noses at people that live their lives differently than our perception of how that should be, often without really knowing anything about them. We say things like, why can't they get it? Why are they struggling with this issue in their life? Why can't they get past this? We forget who we were, folks, when we allow ourselves to think that way. When we allow ourselves to look poorly on others, we forget how much we needed, and truly still need, the continued grace of Jesus Christ. Because we ain't all that good ourselves. We were still in Ephesians 2, further down in that chapter of Ephesians chapter 2. And you don't have to go there if you already turned back. I'll just touch on this. He says in verse 11, in times past, they were Gentiles in the flesh. Without Christ, verse 12 says, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So when looking at others, we should be looking at them as Christ sees them. Either a believer in Christ who needs help, who needs a brother to come alongside them and help them grow, or a lost individual that needs to know about the precious blood of Jesus Christ and the grace that's available through what he did on the cross. Praise the Lord, all things have become new. Praise the Lord, I, Gene, am made nigh by the blood of Christ. Back in our text in 2 Corinthians, he completes verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5 saying that. He tells us all is new. Let me read it to you. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. So we were talking about others here a moment ago. Paul was talking about seeing everybody, and I'm talking about seeing everybody as a changed individual if they know Christ, or someone that needs Christ. But now talking about our own selves. He says, all things are become new. All things are of God. You know, it doesn't seem like that sometimes, does it? Myself, even all the things I've seen in our family, the miracles God has done, and the miracles I've seen in the lives of others, sometimes it's tough. We tend to have little pity parties. We see difficulty happening in our eyes, and we look at the difficulty rather than Jesus. A lot of things affect how things seem, my mood today, how I feel physically today, my surroundings, my walk with the Lord that particular day, if I've spent time with him, attacks from the enemy, and so on. All these things can affect me if I let them affect me, if I'm thinking about those things, if I'm grieving over the problems that I have in this world. But I've learned, most of the time, to keep what God's word says in my thoughts and think strictly on how God reckons things to be and the fact that all things are of God. The Bible makes it clear in Romans 8:28, y'all know this verse, all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So if my focus is there, if my focus is on my love for him, if my focus is how I should be serving him, then all things, even things we don't understand, God says work together for good. In 1 John 3:2, he writes, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Man, aren't you looking forward to that? Ron said something similar to that a while ago to me. Couldn't wait to get his glorified body. Praise God, me either, Ron. There's some work needs to be done on this one. But we have that hope, and I don't mean hope like I hope that happens. We have that security. We have that faith. We know that although sometimes struggles and life is difficult here, if we look, Christ is working in us, and we have the hope of eternity with him. That's an amazing thing. If we keep that in our perspective, every other thing seems to have a much smaller effect on how we live. So because I know the word, I don't need to let circumstances affect me. Excuse me. So part of our life, part of our job as believers is being sure we reckon ourselves to be who Jesus says we are and reckon ourselves to live our lives according to that, even when we don't necessarily feel like it. In John chapter 17, Jesus prays for his disciples, and he prays for us. You ever read and pay attention to John 17? I love that, man, because Jesus literally prays for us in that chapter. But in verse 16, he says, talking about his disciples, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Now, what's that mean? What's he saying? The disciples weren't going to go through what he was about to go through, nor leave this planet with him the way he left. They were still going to be here, but he says they are not of the world. They're still walking around here. But spiritually, God has changed them. There's something going on that's different. I'm still in the world. You're still in the world. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been changed. So I want to remind us today to reckon that to be true in our lives. See yourselves, think about yourself as seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, a new creation. But because you've been changed, God has a charge for you. If back in our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, once again, it says, as we read a moment ago, "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." We have been reconciled to God and given the ministry of reconciliation. What's reconcile mean? It means to restore, right? It means to put something back together. It means to make things right that have been made wrong. God has given you and I the ministry of reconciliation. God changed us to be his by Christ and commands us to be about the same business. Flip with me over to Colossians chapter 1. Just a few pages further than Ephesians was, to your right. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. I've probably quoted this verse here before. I tend to quote it a lot. It says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him. All things are for him." All things are created by him and all things are for him. I love that verse. That verse was a life-changing verse for me 20-some years ago. I was walking with the Lord. I was attending what was then KCBT. I was getting plugged in because God had saved me from a radical lifestyle, and man, I finally got it. I was chasing him. But I went on this trip to Amsterdam, Holland. I'll get my tongue working right here in a minute, with a group from KCBT. I think they still do it every year. It's like a missions discovery trip. And they take a group of people over to Amsterdam, and in the morning we would all meet in the bar of this hotel we were staying at, because the bar was closed. They allowed us to use that as a meeting room. And the pastor would teach on missions and church history, because so much of what we know of the Baptist heritage and missions comes from that area. And it was awesome. It was very good. And then in the afternoon and the evenings, we'd go out and do things in the community in Amsterdam and places just a little farther beyond sometimes, and see how the cultures were different, and how that community, how that culture looked at the things of God or didn't. as compared to ours. And it was an interesting trip. But one day, this guy by the name of Miles McKee, I believe, I still remember his name, he was a missionary to Ireland. He came over and spent a couple of days with us. I think he was talking to the pastor there about maybe connecting somehow. But one morning he did a devotion in this class we were doing in this bar. And he talked about this verse. And he kept honing in on all things were created by him and for him. You know, that morning was a life changer for me. See, I loved the Lord. I was excited about the fact that he had saved me and put my family back together and the things he was doing. And I was getting plugged into things at that church that I was part of. But ultimately, still, my life was about me, making sure I was getting the things I needed. My family was getting the things I needed. I was happy about church and the things I was doing, but still, Gene was my focus. But that day, he kept repeating, we were made by him and for him. That clicked with me. I knew I was made by him, but the fact that the only reason I'm living and breathing is to make him happy, the only reason mankind and everything we know about our earth and beyond was created was to please God, was to allow the special gift of communion with us and him through his son, Jesus Christ. And that was all I was here for. That radically changed my life in serving him and my ministry. Nothing else was more important. I love my family. I love my wife and my daughter, and I want to do everything I need to do. But I know that if I'm focused on him, he's got that. I need to make sure he's first above all, because that's the only reason I'm here. And it changed my life. And that's part of what I want to talk about here today. We've been charged with the ministry of reconciliation. And I wonder how good we sometimes do or don't do because we get all caught up in the things of the world, not realizing we were made by him and for him. He is first. He is preeminent. It's not what you were expecting maybe when you accepted Christ as your Savior. Oh, man, I thought he'd keep me from hell. I'd go to church every once in a while, do a few things, especially when they have dinners up there, and life would be good. But no, God's got more for you than that. And you know what? For the most part, it ain't about you. It's about him. But what's cool about that is when you finally, if you haven't, but like me, when I finally got that through my head and let my life run that way, suddenly I realized I was where I had always been trying to get to by the wrong means. Been making myself first, trying to make sure I got what I wanted, doing, serving God over here too, but focused on me to make sure my needs were met. When I started focusing on him more, all of a sudden, either my needs were met or I didn't need those things I thought I did any longer because he was most important. No, God has ministry. God has service. God has a calling for each and every one of us. This new creation, as we read in 2 Corinthians there, verse 5, this new creation is of God. Therefore, if you are reconciled to him and all things are of him, then what do we have to worry about in being involved in ministry? We have nothing to worry about. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, or I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Peter is just wrapping up his salutation, and he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us, there's that past tense thing again, according as his, Jesus Christ's divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And the passage goes on. You can read that later. But that, once again, says everything you need, he's already given you. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if he lives inside of you, then he has everything you need to all things that pertain to life and godliness. The only issue is, are we paying attention? Are we letting that Spirit direct us? Or are we pushing him down? Not listening, turn the radio up, turn the Christian music up loud so we don't have to hear what God's saying to us. Sorry, Matt. Because we do that. We need to let him speak. We need to listen. It's okay to say, Lord, I don't know. I'm not sure I'm capable, but I trust you. So let me step on out. People say things to me oftentimes like, oh, I don't know, Gene. You know, you fill in the blank. God can't use me. I'm too shy. Or I don't understand everything about the Bible as good as somebody else I know. Or I'm too young. Or I'm too old. Or whatever the case may be. And, you know, maybe some of those things can be a hindrance to you in your life, especially before Christ or in how things work out there. But they aren't a hindrance when it comes to serving him, because God will take you where you are, where you're at. Maybe you won't be a preacher. Probably not. Maybe you won't have to stand up in front of a group. A lot of people are scared of that. But you guys don't look anything like the gang I usually talk to, so you all make me nervous. But God's going to use you anyway, no matter where you are, if you're available. If you're listening to that call of the Holy Spirit on your life. Ephesians 4:1 says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. God made you new by Jesus and wants to use you to start the process in others. I tell guys in prison all the time, especially in the maximum security prison, I can only really minister and talk to the guys that come to that room. In that particular prison, I can't go out and walk around. It's dangerous, honestly. So it just doesn't happen. So it's their responsibility to reach everybody else on that camp. Amen. Inmates, many of them doing life without, God has a ministry for them where they are. They live in a world of their own there, believe me. It's a city unto itself and a culture unto itself. But God has ministry for them to do. Many of them will never, once again, they're not even allowed to get up and speak in front of a crowd. But they can share Jesus in how they live their lives and what they say when God prompts them. Amen. Are you still bought in, or is that too much? For some of us it is. Some folks spend their entire Christian lives doing nothing more than showing up to church. Sometimes. That's unfortunate. Some folks will see the reality, or seemingly see the reality of what God's word says, like we're talking about here today, and walk away unscathed or unaffected. I don't have all the answers for that. I mean, obviously, a couple of things are possible there. Number one, they don't really know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God inside of them. They're playing church. That's a possibility. But even believers sometimes, as I said a moment ago, we so don't grow. We so don't trust. We so don't get to know God's word and see the reality of what he has done for us and what he wants to do through us and in us, that we never really get it. I was preaching a week or two ago about it's 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. And I don't know, I may have preached that here at some point, but that verse says, for as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for those that love him. If you haven't stepped out and let the Holy Spirit use you in whatever way he wants to, you really don't get it. You don't know the thrill that will come with serving God, what it means to see somebody accept Jesus Christ as their Savior because God used you somehow in their lives. Or whatever the case may be. I liken that verse when I'm preaching it. Y'all know me, or a lot of you, I got a Harley. I used to like to ride. Now, I still like to ride it, not as much as I used to. But I've taken trips on it, and some of them have been real adventures. And that verse reminds me of that as I was riding through the Dakotas one time on my way out to Yellowstone. As I ride that motorcycle, I've seen pictures of these places. I've seen them in the magazines, but as I rode through there on my bike and I could smell the smells and I could feel the changes in the temperature and I have all the experience surrounding me, it's so much more exhilarating than looking at the picture in a magazine, because I went there and I experienced it myself. You can listen to Brian, you can listen to your favorite TV or radio preacher, you can amen it, But you don't know what it's like until you get up off the pew and allow God to use you in the ministry of reconciliation. I got so off track, I don't know where I'm at in my notes. You know, it doesn't require much, honestly, to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Holy Spirit's dealing with you and convicting you. Maybe you've been around church a little bit. Maybe you know a little bit about it. You know that Jesus died for you. You've heard that. You understand it intellectually. The Spirit is working on you. Maybe there's problems in your life that are feeling like they're crushing you. You ask Him to save you, truly based on His terms, with a broken and contrite spirit. The Bible says you can be saved with very little knowledge of the Word of God. However, growing in faith, being able to experience the things that God has for you, developing a heart for the lost, that comes from time in His Word, time in prayer. This week, this church is making opportunity for people to do that that might not ever do it otherwise. You're going to put Bibles in the hands of a lot of inmates and other people as well. Paul tells us in verse 19, there in our text in 2 Corinthians, well, let me read it first. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Christ made a way for us to change, taking away the guilt from our sin account. And now He's given us the job of making sure everybody else knows that. To me, that's exciting. Jesus isn't here in the flesh anymore. Remember, we saw that earlier. We no longer know Him like that, but I see Jesus in you. I hope you see Jesus in me. And the world needs to see that. What you're doing, I know from the last bunch of Bibles I got that Randy gave me that you guys had done, they all got used at the Jackson County Jail, and I know you heard from people. I don't know how many, but people read those Bibles and they reached out to this church. Other people never connected except with God. He trusted us with the responsibility of carrying on and spreading the word. Verse 20 says, we're ambassadors. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled unto God. You guys know what an ambassador is. We have United States ambassadors that maybe at the UN or in other countries. And when those people speak to leaders of other countries, they are speaking the words of our president. Right? No comment on that. Just they're speaking the word of our president. I heard a couple of ooh. This isn't a political meeting. There's no question by the folks that are hearing them that it's not this person's opinion or idea. This is the word of the president of the United States. God chose me and you to be His ambassadors and speak His word to a lost world. That's amazing stuff. Paul says, I beseech you for God in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We can be righteous before God only in Christ. Verse 21 says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Do you sit and meditate on that? God made His Son sin, who knew no sin, for us, so that we can be reconciled unto Him. I have lots of silly analogies, but I'm going to give you one. How many of you guys use Word on your computer? Yeah? Or other, I'm sure other programs as well. But you can be, like me, I can be typing up a message and writing my notes, and then I got a Bible program open over here, and if I want to put a verse into my notes, I can go over here and highlight it, and then right-click, and I can cut, or I can copy and paste it where I want, right? Well, here's my analogy. On the cross, as Jesus hung there, suffering and dying for me, God highlighted my sin and clicked cut. and pasted it on Jesus. But then he went one step further. He highlighted the righteousness of Christ, clicked copy, and he pasted it on me. If that don't get you excited and want to tell people, you don't realize what's happened here. That's exciting stuff, ladies and gentlemen, and we need to be about telling people about that. We can be righteous through Jesus Christ. You've been changed if you're here today in Christ, but you've been charged to be about his business. The Bible says that we are the fullness of him. He's the cornerstone. You know, the way they used to build buildings, they have this main stone and they build the other foundational stones attached to that. Maybe that's the apostles. And then you and I are the other stones built on that foundation that create the temple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Father God, that he indwells. And that's an exciting place to be. Every member of the body is important. And my time's short. Let me talk about that body one minute. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Last time I'll make you turn, I promise. Let me read verses 11 through 16. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So here's the challenge. We talked about the change. We talked about the charge. Here's the challenge. And I can be blunt. Forgive me. I love you. But he says, grow up. That's what he says. We need to grow up. He starts verse 11. He tells about that he gave, God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors. Why? Verse 12 says, for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints. For the work, for the edifying, the building up of the body. That's us. You guys have got some great pastors and leaders here at this church. They are gifts to you to prepare you for ministry. They are not here to do all the ministry. They're here to prepare you and I. He then says, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge or the acknowledging of the Son of God. And then he clicks down through there and he says, unto a perfect man, which means complete or full, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, which talks about maturity. No more children, verse 14. Are we getting the picture yet? A body that's equipped, built up, mature, no longer a child in Christ, no longer a babe in Christ. Verse 15 says that by speaking in the truth in love, this body may grow up into him, Jesus, in all things. Then 16 paints this picture and completes the thought. A whole body fitted together by the sum of its parts, compacted by that which every joint supplies. A body, every part working together as it is increased, as it grows and becomes strengthened. In the gym, you work out. No comments about how much I know about this or don't. In the gym, you work out and you have to effectively work every muscle group in the body, do you not? You don't just work on arms all the time and walk around like Popeye. No, you're doing upper body one day, you're doing lower body another day, you're doing different things so that the whole body is healthy and strong and gets built up and is prepared to do whatever you need this body to do to serve this head. This body, the body of Christ, this local body, which is a piece of that bigger body. We need to grow in that same way. We're part of the works. If each part's doing its part, then we become healthier, stronger, more useful to our head, Jesus Christ. Paul challenges us to grow up. See the reality of what God is doing and start flexing our muscles. So remember, you've been changed spiritually if you know Christ as your Savior. And if you don't, you can know that today. It's not difficult. And there are people here who will talk to you about that without a doubt. God loves you. He died for you. He wants you to be part of his family and part of this body we're talking about. You've been changed if you know him. You've been charged to a task. And you've been challenged to be a mature believer. Sometimes we listen to messages and we think this applies to somebody else. My wife needs to hear this. Or my dad needs to hear this. Or whatever the case may be. No, I'm talking to us. And we need to be thinking about it personally, individually. And we need to be asking God, am I lacking somehow here? Is there some way I need to be about the ministry of reconciliation that I'm not? You have an opportunity today and this week to be part of just a piece of God's work of reconciliation. Maybe you haven't seen your place in ministry before. And this won't be a full-time ministry, but man, this is a great thing you can do. You know, they're going to give me, you guys are going to give me 1,000 Bibles. I promise you, many more than 1,000 men and women will read the pages of those Bibles. And many, many of them, God will impact in a mighty way. The lessons that are in the front of them, that makes it even more cool. And I don't know. You guys will maybe never know what God does with those. But I sometimes think, maybe someday when we're there, we'll have some way of seeing how we impacted the world. It doesn't matter. We don't do it for reward. We do it for him because he's the preeminent one. You have the opportunity to work side by side with other members of this body, flexing your muscles, building up the fellowship of believers at Heartland Baptist Fellowship. Maybe the very Bible you assemble, as I said, will touch multiple lives. Maybe an immature Christian sitting in a prison cell will read from a Bible that you assembled and learn to find rest by relying entirely on scriptural truth. That's your theme this year, right? Maybe he doesn't have any understanding of what that means. Maybe he opens his Bible and does this every day to get his word from the Lord. Maybe he'll grow because of a Bible you assembled. I'm going to pray that you guys come together, both physically and financially, actually. You guys have always been great to us in helping support us. There's cost involved in what you're doing here. I'm going to pray this body comes together as a group, as parts of this body, and financially as well, to be part of the ministry of reconciliation in just this small way and getting Bibles into the hands of thousands of men and women. Father God, I love you so much. I thank you that you gave me opportunity to speak here today. I pray, God, that you bless this church and their endeavors this week, the other speaker that's coming, and all the things that are going to go on.